Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome Dave Emmons. Dave is a longtime experiencer and abductee. He has had multiple UFO sightings and encounters with non-human entities. Dave, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Chris. Glad to be on here with you and share a few things, and maybe we can just delve into it, and hopefully that people will get something out of it. Either that, or they can be entertained by it. One of the two, I guess.
Right. Well, I understand you have some very fascinating stories, and you know, I have actually never seen a UFO. Not that I can verify, or you know, that I can brush off as something else. And I have never had a paranormal experience, and I've never been abducted. But I believe in it, and I know it happens. I know it's real. And that's part of why I do this show, is to get to the bottom of the phenomenon and find out the truth behind it and what's really going on. So let's start at the beginning for you. Let's start a little bit with your background and then get into your experience.
All righty. I was born and raised here in Southern Illinois, and this is where most of my events happened. And I graduated from high school, and I was on the honor roll, and I did my good duty as a kid. And then right after that, I enlisted in the Army, and I was able to max out the test going into the Army. So I got into top secret nuclear weapons, and I went to Redstone Arsenal in Alabama, Huntsville, not too far from you, I guess. And I spent several months there. I didn't like the school, and this is where a lot of people think, oh, what's going on with this guy? He had a top secret. It took him 6 months to do the top secret. I went to the school, but what happened, I was myself and another guy were the only two high school grads there. The rest of them had master's degrees and had bachelor's degrees in mathematics and science, and there was 15 people in the class. So it was an elite class. And so I started off really well. I had an 89% average. But then we had military intelligence people come in every week, a weekend on a Saturday, and they would give us cigarettes and soda, coffee, and then they'd talk to us. And all they did was they were trying to figure out how loose our lips were and how, you know, how much they could trust us. So I didn't like that. And then I heard that we were going to Sandia, New Mexico, after this training. And that meant that I would have been in top secret hideout under some deep, dark tunnel. And I was only 19, but I would have turned 20 at the time. And I was just way too young to fathom that. So I didn't go through with it. So I had a chaplain get me out of the class because I couldn't drop the class because of my percentage was 89. I had to have below, I think they said, the 76% rate to drop the class, but I had 89. But come to the short of it, I went to Vietnam after that. I give up my regular orders, and they said, well, you'll probably go to Vietnam. I said, I don't care. It's time for me to grow up anyway. So I did. I went to Vietnam, become a platoon sergeant over there, and at the end of my 3 years, I was offered a commission as a lieutenant. And that's a lot of times they don't do that. I was a sergeant, but they don't do a field commission that often, but I was offered that, and I didn't take it. I got out and I worked as an electrician at a company, and I played music, and I went to college part-time, so I kept myself really busy. Played music 2 or 3 nights a week and went to school a couple of nights a week, night school. Finally worked my way through that, and I've got a journalistic degrees, a bachelor's, associate's, and a special school in journalism, radio, TV, so I got through with that, and that's what sparked a lot of my investigative curiosity. I was trained to be a journalist and investigator, so I investigate myself along with watching and keeping up with all the newest things about UFOs and paranormal activities. So after that, I went into business management, owned a business, and then went into Red Cross disaster management, and then I retired. And I was playing music and doing a lot of other things. And I was doing, then I started doing more UFO research when I got retired. So give me more time to travel, to do those types of things. But like I was telling you earlier, Chris, most of my UFO sightings, all of them, it's all five of them, happened here in Southern Illinois. Even though I traveled out west, out in Sedona, Arizona, and Nevada, I've seen some things, sparkly things in the sky, but I don't count orbs. I don't count sparkly things a lot of times that I can't really make out. So I try to count the ones that I can see up close and say, yeah, now that's strange. You know, that's where I do right. my counting. But yeah, but that's how I want to do things. I try to keep things real. I think a lot of people have, we're discussing that. I think a lot of people, half the people don't believe in UFOs, and a lot of them have a really hard time about abductions. I noticed you said something about that you were never abducted. Well, Dr. Jacobs said that half of the people that's been abducted, they don't know it. And we can get into that here a little later on how I experienced how that happens. But no, you probably don't know you've been abducted, but most people have. I mean, they really can't count it. They have control. They're invisible. They can walk in your house. They can take you through your house or your roof. They can speed up your frequencies and take you. So they have all this intelligence that we can't even fathom that they use to do all this. And hopefully we can be left with some memories, some actual physical memories, or some regressed memories that are really vivid and lucid that you can really tie into and say, oh my, that's where I went. That's what happened to me. I get these little flashbacks, these little regressed flashbacks. But yeah, that's part of the abduction phenomenon. A lot of people, like I said, they're not left with anything. I guess I'm lucky to have some of these little cookie crumbs that they leave on the floor for me. That's, you know, the little things that I know that really happened that I can tie them together to my investigations of myself. I got a 250 plus page ledger that I keep, and I'm going to write a book hopefully before long. My wife's gotten involved in some projects, and I got some maybe playing some music type things. And I'm older, but I don't give up. I keep busy. I just got back from Chicago, so I keep traveling around, and I love traveling. But I guess we can start it off by the first sighting.
Let's start at the beginning. Yeah, okay. Talk about your very first sighting, and then let's get into it.
Okay, it was in 1963. This is where I'm going to start dating myself here. 1963, I was 14 years of age. It was right after school was let out. It was in June. It was warm. And my best friend and I, he was just about 9-10 months younger than me, we were sitting on his steps that went down into his house. And we had a 10-transistor radio, and we were drinking Pepsi like young kids would do. We sat there, and it was around 10:30 at night. And we heard the radio snapping and popping, 10 transistors. Well, they did that anyway, but this was kind of weird. It was doing it a lot. I asked my friend, I said, did you change batteries? He said, oh, yeah, they're brand new batteries. I don't know what's wrong. So, and then we smelled what smelled like sulfur. And what I found to be later on through the years of investigating this stuff is ozone. There's a smell of ozone when a craft comes through the different layers of oxygen, nitrogen, H2O, and it gives off this hydrogen sulfate, and which is ozone kind of a smell. They heat all these elements together, and that's what gives that odor.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Why? And that's probably why they're mistaken often for demons is a sulfur smell. I just wanted to add that in. That's very fascinating that you said that. But sorry about that.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, Chris, I haven't heard that much talked about, but I know a lot of people, especially, I guess, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not so religious. I do go to church with my wife. My wife is she likes going to church, but she believes in my experiences. We've been married about 7 years now, and she knows that I'm for real. And she's a highly educated person herself. She's got a master's degree, very down to earth. But she doesn't like the evil. She thinks maybe UFOs could be evil or they could be devils, just like you said. I've heard this, but I haven't witnessed that. And talking about the sulfur smell, that never triggered that. I never thought about that. You just brought that up. That's pretty good. You brought it up about the sulfur smell. Yeah, but that.
Yeah, I've just heard that before. Know. When people possibly have what would be extraterrestrial or interdimensional encounters, they often report a sulfur smell. And you know, I'm still on the fence. It could be demonic entities. It could be interdimensional entities. It could be extraterrestrials. You know, I don't know for sure, but it's definitely fascinating what you're saying. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but then we saw the lights. There was two bright lights, not as big as the triangle craft lights. Those are huge. I'll talk about that sighting too. But this was a smaller. It was about 30-35. Feet in diameter and maybe about 12-15 feet high, and it looked like one of these baby tops, you know, the tops that you played with when you were a little kid. And is, well, not maybe you, but me, but they were kind of plump looking. They had three layers on them, and you pump them and they spin around. Well, it kind of looked like that when we got up close to it. So what we did is we walked up on the street, take a closer look at it. He had a flashlight and he flashed the light at it. So we don't know if that was a signal that probably they were picking up on, or were they picking up on the DNA or some kind of a signal from one of us. And apparently it was me, because they never did follow up with my best buddy, in which 3 weeks ago we just talked about the story ourselves, and we talk about it all the time when we get together, and we still can't, you know, come up with a missing time. But I'll keep this in order here. We went up to this empty lot. We looked up, and this thing was about 70, 80 feet up. It's kind of hard to figure out how far up it was. It wasn't a very far. We could see it very, very close. And it was in my backyard, actually. We walked up on this hill overlooking my backyard, and it was over my backyard. And we stood there and looked at this thing. And we pinched each other to make sure we were awake and we were seeing things that we were looking at. And yeah, so he kind of pinched me kind of hard, I remember. And he pinched me in the side and it hurt. And I said, wow, you don't have to do that hard. And he said, shh, and, you know, like, be quiet. And then let's look. And I was looking at the windows. It had another little light towards the back, a red light. And it had the two white lights, but they turned off some of the lights because it got a little darker, and it was a dark gray metallic color, especially at the bottom. It looked kind of black, like it was burnt, like the sulfur smell I was saying. And then the second roll, the second tier had windows, and I was afraid. I kept telling my buddy, I said, I hope they don't look out. I don't want to see what they look like. I was afraid. And then on top, there's a little bubble like on top. And then it looked like two antenna sticking up at on top of that. And we were just wondering, wow, what is this thing? You know, and we just kept watching it. And before we knew it, time went by. And then by the time it left, it was in the southwest as we were looking at my backyard. And I didn't know this until I redrew it several years ago. And then I drew it going another direction, and then it was in the southwest. But when it left, it went real fast, and it was just gone into the clouds. It took off in due west fashion, and so it must have made some movement while we were there, and that movement was from southwest to due west. So it had to move a little bit. We didn't see it move, so that tells me something happened during that time. And I asked my buddy if he felt anything, or he said, no. He said, I'm going home, tell my dad. I said, yeah, we better get home. I said, I don't know what time it is. I got the door. My mom was really mad because it's so late. I didn't know exactly what time. She didn't tell me. She just said, I told her, I said, I saw a UFO, mom. And she goes, I'll UFO your butt and I'll get in the house. So I went in the house and I said, I did. And she goes, you stay away from those things. Because back then in the 50s, my mom said that they had warnings to stay away from those kind of craft. If they land, stay away from it. It's what the radio was telling them. And she remembers this back in the 50s. Uh-huh. But she's actually seen them herself in her family. Her family had one in the back of their yard. And she wasn't there at the house, but she's got her two younger sisters are there. She was married and gone. But they described it almost, it looked exactly like the one that we saw. Well, to explain after that what happened, there was some missing time between 10:30 and midnight, and we don't know exactly what happened. I don't remember any marks on me, and my buddy didn't either. I remember a slight regressed, I guess, thought, something that come across my mind. It was a few years ago that I was putting on a shirt, sitting on a metal table. I was putting on a shirt that was too small for me, and I was real groggy. And it must have been my buddy's shirt because I was a little bit bigger than him. So I remember that part of it. Apparently, we did get dressed, and we went back home. So that was the end of it. We still today don't know what happened there for an hour or so that was missing time. I had a regressed event in my sleep that I might get to here pretty soon. But the thing that really, like I said, I usually like to back up my sightings and things with something that happens, you know, consciously while you're awake and you see these things. And this is what I go by. I don't know if a lot of people out there can believe this, but this is what I go by. Since I've seen five of them, I started knowing how to handle and put my feet on the ground and face reality that something has to let me know that that happened. Well, 2 months later, here's the factoid that made me think something really did happen. I was only 2 months after the sighting. I felt in my testicle area, my groin area, I felt a little bump. And I didn't know what it was. It felt like a little, I guess you would say, M&M or something, small one. And I didn't know what it was. I looked down and I saw a cut red line. The red line had to have been about 3/16 of an inch maybe long. And it was just like a real fine red line. That little fine red line turned out to be a hole in my testicle sac. So what I did is I pushed that thing back. It took me about 5-10 minutes. I finally pushed it out, that back out that hole. And it looked like a small M&M or Advil tablet. And I had it in my hand, and it was kind of ash color, kind of light color. And as I was holding it, it started turning darker. And I showed my mom. She says, throw that little thing away. That's probably just a blackhead or something. Like I said, no, mom. I said it had a hole. I said the hole was a straight line. Even at 14, I knew there was a difference. I said, there's a hole cut there, mom. She goes, oh, come on. I said, yeah, for real. I said, there was a hole already cut there, and all I did was push it back out. Well, back then, parents and none of us really had enough UFO knowledge or experience about these types of matters to check further or to investigate or to call anybody. Back then, it was kind of like it happened. You didn't hardly tell anybody. I told some of my friends, I remember back then, and they kind of laughed. So I didn't tell anybody anymore after that. And my buddy, the same way, he got into the police force, become a police chief, so he didn't talk about it after that. So, but we talked about it privately with my other brothers and our friends. We'd get together, but that's what happens when people don't understand what's really going on out there. But today, I think they have a better chance at understanding. It looks like to me disclosure is slowly just creeping out, and the Navy is looking like to me they're forcing this disclosure, and things are going on in a rapid pace. And I think people understand now there's flying things out there that we don't understand. They must be UFOs. And I think most people are starting to believe that now. Can they get into the deeper stuff, the abductions or actually seeing aliens? Maybe not. I think 40% of the people can, but there's quite a bit of people that don't. So I just want to challenge people's curiosity and challenge their, you know, thinking out of the box a little bit, just to think about these things, that they really do happen and that they exist. And I know there's a lot of people that I know that know they exist. But yeah, that was the fact that told me, yes, Dave, 14-year-old Dave, something happened. And so I went on with my life and got out of school and did that stuff, and I got busy. And I remember seeing things in the sky, like lights and stuff after that. Between for about 20 years, I guess I didn't have a direct experience. This was weird because they did come and go, but the intensity increased in 08 through 2012, up through actually, I guess, 2014. There was some paranormal things that happened.
Now, do you think there was any reason why there was such a large gap between your experiences?
Not really. I don't know. When I went to school and I worked and I played music two or three nights a week, I might have been so busy that I was so tired. They might have visited me in my sleep, but I didn't know about it. But I was just so tired and kept so busy. Matter of fact, I was so busy that I passed out, and the doctor told me I had to kind of give up something, you know, I had to buy more rest somehow or another. So I was so busy during those years that I saw things, like I said, in the sky. I didn't see them close up, but at a distance. But I've had dreams. These were dreams at night. During those years that were kind of like crazy dreams, and some of them were real lucid dreams. I can't remember all of them, but I did write some down. But the next incident, unless you have any questions about this first one.
No, go for it.
Okay, the next incident was in 1996. This is about, we're talking a long jump here, but like I said, I don't remember any direct things happening, but I knew there had to have been some weird things going on between those 20, 25 years, whatever. But in 1996 is when I was visited directly. It was about 1:30 in the morning. My adopted daughter usually coming, this is my ex-wife I was with at the time. You guys don't know my history a lot here. But she sometimes would come in our bedroom to go to the medicine cabinet to get aspirins or something for her headache. She had migraines a lot, so I thought it was her. And I got up on my elbow and I said, "Crystal?" And some dark shadow walked past the mirror, and my ex-wife liked to keep it dark in that room. So I didn't really see her that well. But then this thing, whatever it was, walked up alongside of my bed. It was only about 3.5 feet tall, and this thing had this didn't look like the little gray aliens like you see in the movies, like in Paul or whatever that movie was, the real smooth skin.
Right.
This little guy had real big wrinkles. I mean, he was really wrinkly. He didn't have the black eyelids on. Those must come off and come on according to the amount of light that they're being, you know, subject to. But
yeah,
I saw his, yeah, and I saw his whites of his eyes, and I saw a big pupil, and it was, you know, and he had eyes kind of like this, but bigger pupils and the whole bit, and his eyes were bigger. But I laid there and I looked at him. For about 4 or 5 seconds, I was in fear. I was scared. Then all of a sudden, I felt peaceful. And then apparently I went out. And then I woke back up. I don't know how long it was after that. I woke back up. My eyes were twitching. And they were really like, I couldn't stop them from twitching. I don't know what was going on. I asked my ex-wife, I said, "Did you see or hear anything?" She goes, "No, go back to sleep." So What I found out later is when they come into a room and you got your wife, your husband, or whoever's being abducted, they usually knock that person out with this magnetic energy. And what it does, it dumbs you down. And then they got different levels. A dumb down is where you'll just sit there and look, observe, and but you won't say nothing. You won't grab a camera. You won't make a move. You won't yell. They got you in a peaceful state of mind. And that's what I call dumb down. I'll get to a story about that later. But this thing must have taken DNA samples or semen samples, and come to find out later on, I really believe it was semen samples, because in 2010 I found out how that fit together. So that happened, and I think for several years there, again, nothing really happened. It kind of went blank for another 10 years. And then in 08, I started seeing other things. I started having things touch me at night, things grab me by the feet, whatever now, it was.
Before you get too far with that, I want to go back to the short gray entity for a couple of minutes. Now, did you feel that he had malevolent intentions towards you? Did you feel that he was, you know, threatening you in any way?
No. He just stood there and stared at me. And apparently, I had fear, like I said, for about 4 or 5 seconds, but for several seconds after that, I felt peaceful. I didn't feel like I was threatened. He didn't make any moves. He just stared at me, and apparently he put me under I went out, and that's when he probably did the blood testing and the semen taking. They do this sometimes at your bedside. They don't need to really abduct you to take you on a craft to get some of the things they're looking for. They read your mind. They can do that right next to your bed. They can look into your brain, read your mind, your memories, and they can take the DNA samples. They can take the semen samples or the eggs from the females. And they can do this at your bedside. So, yeah, he didn't make any fast moves. I didn't really see him move at all, really. When he got upside my bed, he was just standing there looking at me. And he wasn't moving at that time. He was just staring at me. I guess that's the process of knocking me down, or, you know.
And you said he was wrinkly? And what color?
Oh, yeah.
What color was he?
Well, actually, he was gray green. It wasn't just a little green man or gray. He was a gray with a greenish tint to him. I don't know if this was the light, the darkness of the room that did this, but he didn't look like the things that you see in the movies. Or that's another thing that I tried to think back. You know. Is there a seed that was planted in my mind about what this thing looked like? And I thought to myself, I never saw anything that ugly. Most of these grays are real smooth skin and not really, really wrinkled. I've seen some pictures of some people said they've seen these grays, but this one was really, really wrinkled. I mean, he was just, I can tell he was ugly, and that's what scared me at first. But then I went out. I didn't know. I didn't see his hands. He didn't raise his hands. I saw his shoulders and his head and his wrinkles, and that's basically what I saw. And the color was a gray green. Wow. I imagine if there was more light on him, I probably could have seen his true color, but it was kind of dark in the room. They could change colors too, depending on the amount of light that's in a location. So that one was quick. Ended that way, and I told the ex-wife and I told some of my family members I saw this thing, and my mom believed me, because she told me later on, through even now, she's 91, she tells me stories that's happened to her, you know, that she's had somebody in her bedroom, and they were tall, dark and slender looking, like male entities. She couldn't really explain them too much, and she said she was touched and she was, you know, kind of almost like molested in a way. And this happened all the way up until the last few years or so that she was telling me. And so she, they said something about following bloodlines or energy lines or even hereditary lines. We have Crow-Indian in us. They said Native American Indians, they said at one time, could have been one of the calling cards for these aliens to track you down. I haven't heard much more about that, but I have about 15%, 20% Crow-Indian in me. Very. And my mom's got about 50%, yeah. So that was the interesting part. If somebody would ask me, why did they follow you? Well, could have been DNA, could have been our hereditary. Also, there's another thing to think about, too, and my mom believes in this highly. She said reincarnation. There's other souls inside our bodies. They said our bodies can contain 2-3 souls. That's, I know that's kind of hard to fathom, and I still haven't gotten it through my head yet that that could actually happen, but that might have come out later on in some of my other events that I've had.
Are you at a crossroads in life with unanswered questions? How does your past connect to your present life? October Hallam can help you discover how your past connects to your present and is shaping your future. October is an intuitive, healer, empath, and medium with over 20 years of experience helping people navigate through some of life's greatest challenges. A recent client from Egypt says, "October is pure magic. We keep coming back for more," and recommended her to our closest friends. If you would like to book a session with October, please contact her at theancientgift222@gmail.com.
So that's what, where that, I, it, what now we're at, actually in 2001, there was the second sighting that I had. It was up close. It was, I was a supervisor at an oil refinery, made gasoline. And I was going up checking my instruments and checking the towers, make sure everything's okay, making the inspection rounds. And I saw this silver thing coming down the road. The refinery was pretty big. You might, you know, seen one or know how big they are, but this thing was coming down. It was probably about 100 feet in the air, maybe 120 feet in the air. It was coming down real slow, and I stood there and I watched it. I called down in the control room and I said, "Guys, you need to come out and look at this thing. This is weird." And what it looked like, it looked like a glider. It was all metal, shiny, like stainless steel metal. It had two sharp wings on it, and it had one, I guess you could call it the tail wing, that was sticking straight up, and it was short. There was no cockpit, no sound, no way of being powered by anything. And it was that low to the ground, 120 feet. And I was up about 100, and I guess 40 feet. So I was able to look over it a little bit. And I kept watching it, and it flew by me, and then it made a turn and went due south. It was heading actually west, and then it went south. I kept watching this thing. It was real slow. One of the things that I remember also is that the laws are so that you cannot fly an aircraft over a refinery. I don't know if anybody knows that rule, but you cannot fly an airplane over a refinery unless you're EPA or military, whatever. But otherwise, you can't fly. So this thing was flying over a restricted area. And why would a glider be flying near refineries? Because a glider would run out of lift and fall. So this thing was powered, and it was kind of weird. It did leave me with one thing. I had a very lucid regression event, or a gift, I called it. They implanted, I guess, my head with a futuristic happening. they were giving me something, throwing a bone to me, I guess you could say, with something with that's going to happen. And I had a very lucid, I would have to call this one a dream, but I associated it with this craft because I think it was actually reading me, uploading while it was passing me real slow, and it was actually, and I was being downloaded with this little gift. I walked through, I was in this dream, and I walked through the refinery, and everything was quiet. And when things are quiet in refinery, there's something wrong. The unit is down, and it takes about 24 to 30 hours to build it back up again, so you don't want the unit to go down. I walked around, everything was just really still. I ran into the control room, and all the lights were out, and it was kind of dark. And I thought, "What's going on?" And then something came to me, said, "This plant's going to shut down." And so the next day, I told the guys at work, I said, "This plant's going to shut down," and they said, "You're crazy." I said, "What do you mean crazy?" I said, "I saw it." I said, "It's going to happen." They said, "When?" I said, "In a few months." And he said, "They just put in $5 or $6 million in revitalizing our unit by itself, not counting the other." I said, I just know it's going to shut down." Well, 6 months later, it did shut down. And I walked through the plant. I walked in there to get my belongings out and everything. And it was weird because the control room was dark, just like I had imagined it. So. You can get some of these sparks of, future. They let you see the future a little bit. They throw you this little bone to let you know. They're leaving a little calling card there for you that, yeah, what you saw was strange, but yeah, we uploaded you and we downloaded a little bit of information for you, to kind of, you know, think about. So yeah, that was the other one that I saw. That was in 01. And then I guess in 08, 09, things started picking up again. That's when I started traveling out west. And I saw my third one. I was going up to Springfield, Illinois, and I went up there to hear a friend of mine's band up in Springfield. That's about an hour and a half or so away from me. And as I was coming back, something told me there was something. I felt strange. I felt lightheaded. And when I went out of the nightclub, I saw a car parked near me, and it had this gal that looked like she was about 25, 26, and she had blonde hair, and she looked over at me when I was getting in the car, and she looked at me kind of strange, and I thought, what does she look at me like that for? And she got something out of the console, and I don't know what it was, but I felt like I went through the stoplights real fast that night, like things were just really sped up. And when I got out of town, about 20 minutes later, and I got out of Springfield, I started going down Highway 55 south. I noticed a bright light coming up from the south. I was heading south. It was coming up. It was going north. This thing was heading north. I was heading south from 55. I thought it was a helicopter at first. It was a bright light. It's kind of like the Tic Tac these Navy guys were talking about, but it really wasn't a Tic Tac. But it come up, and I kept watching it. I actually slowed down to see if I can take a look at it. It wasn't up very high. It was only up about, again, 70 feet, 60 feet, 70 feet above my car. I slowed down to about 40. I saw it coming close to me, and then it come right over my car. I looked up out of my window, and I looked under the craft, and under the craft, it was a disc shape. It must have been, I guess, I would have to count somewhere around 25, 30 feet wide, similar to the other one. But it was kind of like lit up at the bottom. It had this white light. It looked like plastic or glass underneath of it, and then at a round dark middle section, right in the middle, is a round dark object, and it looked like a pie cut, four pieces of pie cut in this craft, and it went over me, and the first thing I thought, I said, why am I seeing these things? Now, that was the third close-up craft I saw, and I thought, why am I seeing these things? I ended up getting home, I'd say, about 35 minutes faster than what I should have. So time, they have some kind of control in time going forward. From backward time that I could see, they can go into your memory and pull out your history and go take you back in time, but most of the time what they're doing otherwise, they take you forward. I think it was that scientist, Stephen Hawking. He said, you can only move forward in time, you can't move back. I found that to fit with the ideas that I've seen, what has happened to me. They can move you forward, but they don't take you back except as far as your memory will take them. You know, so that's how they can get things from your mind. They can read your mind. They can make a recording of your mind whatever they record to or upload to. And that's how they track you. They know you. They're following people, DNA, energy, memory, how you're taught, what you eat, what are your favorite things. I think they're uploading all that just to try to figure us humans out or keep track of us, not figure us out. I think they made us. They're not figuring us out. That's the wrong thing. I should erase that and go back and say what they're doing is keeping track of us, not trying to figure us out. I think they know us quite well.
Very interesting. So was that your last experience where you actually had sort of, a close-up encounter with a UFO? And did you have any other experiences with, actual beings?
Yes, I did. This here, that was the third one up close. The fourth one I saw was kind of similar to this one, the bright light that followed me on the highway. They put things in your mind, they put these thoughts in your mind. One night I was told, and this was kind of like it was something that was telling me telepathically, go to this movie and come back at this time. And I did this, and I thought, this is kind of crazy. I'm following these telepathic gestures. And when I come back, I was on the Highway 255 coming back home to Godfrey, Illinois. And I saw this bright light again, like I saw up around Springfield, Illinois. And I saw this bright light keeping pace with me. On the other side of the four-lane highway, it was kind of like over the trees, keeping pace. And I thought to myself, oh no, not another one. You know, I wonder what's going to happen with this one. So I slowed down a little bit. It slowed down a little bit. And I see it was kind of like elongated. It kind of looked like a capsule, except it was bright white light. I didn't see any of the structure of the craft on this one. I saw the bright white light underneath the belly of it. And I knew it was following me. So what I felt then is I was talking about the electromagnetic energy that they control you with, and right. They dumb you down and knock you out with. Well, I felt very weak. I was driving. I felt very weak. At the time, I was healthy. I'm pretty healthy now, but I was healthy. And there was nothing that would cause me. And my foot kept letting up on the gas, and I pulled off the side of the road because I knew if I kept driving that I didn't know if I was going to pass out or be knocked out. So I pulled off and I sat there with my foot on the brake. I put my head on the steering wheel and I was going around and around. I was real dizzy and I felt really weak and my stomach started feeling a little bit queasy. And I thought, what's wrong? And I thought, well, that thing is probably right above me. It was uploading, downloading again. Like I said, they don't have to snatch you all the time, only when they need samples, but they can upload and download from you and figure out where you've been, how your life is going, then they're tracing you. So I felt this way, and I finally come to myself, and I'd taken some deep breaths, and I thought, oh my, I guess it's gone. I'm starting to feel stronger now. I feel better. And then I'd started driving the car slowly to make sure I was okay and able to handle the car. And it would have been something else if a cop pulled over and said, "Mister, what are you doing? Pulled off side of the road." I would have had a hard time explaining to him what it was. I would have just had to say that I felt, sick in my stomach. I just thought I'd pull over. So that's what I would tell him. I wouldn't tell him that would happen, because he'd make you say, "Okay, you get out of the car. I'm gonna run a drunk test on you," and in which I didn't drink at all that night. So that would have been fine. But I felt like there was that whatever it was come over my car and was working on me for about, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. It felt like an eternity, but I guess it was only 2 or 3 minutes, and I felt really sick. And the only reason I know what that feeling is because I've had other events that followed that let me know that it was electromagnetic energy that knocked your brain down. Our brains are made up of electrical little devices anyway, so we're controlled by electricity. So that was actually the fourth close-up one I saw. Like I said, I saw the light, the bright light underneath its belly, but I didn't see the makeup of the craft. But I assumed it was a disc craft like I saw in Springfield just a little bit before that, a year or two before that. So that event happened. And then I thought, okay, I want to go from the beginning on this. I felt something telepathically telling me to go somewhere, do something. I've heard of other people having this too, there's other symptoms, like they make you feel really tired. They make you kind of lay down to where they can work on you better. I guess it's that energy they shoot at you slowly and then bring you to where they want you to be as far as consciousness is concerned. So that's how, and then I talked to a couple of scientists, and I had a elderly lady friend who was a biologist and a chemist, and she worked at it professionally for a long time, and she studied crop circles, and she was into UFOs, and she said, "I can tell you exactly what that is." She said, "That's electromagnetic energy that makes you feel ill. It makes you feel like you're going to vomit, and your head feels headachy, and you feel hot flashes." She said, "That's electromagnetic energy. I can explain that." So that's where I get some of my information. I find it out by researching it and talking to other people to find out, okay, what is this feeling? Why am I feeling this? And why are they doing this?
Right. And have you ever had any regressions done to find out what happened during these periods of missing time?
Yes, I have. When I was I had a regression. I was on another planet, and there was two suns, and it was cool. It kind of reminded me of Washington State. It had it looked like pine trees. I was with a group of younger people, so it must have been during that 14 years of age, and this regression happened years later. And so this was, I guess, it implanted in my mind that it was there all the time, but it just popped out one night. And there was two suns. It was near a river, kind of, and then I was, like I said, I was with kids, and I was playing, their music or some kind of music they were playing. And I noticed the instruments looked a little different than our instruments mechanically. Like the drums only had like a two prong holder instead of three prongs like we have. It was just different little weird things. Walked out on this kind of like a boardwalk and out of these little apartment like things. Walked out on the boardwalk, and there was a yard there. It looked like some equipment, maybe lumber or whatever. And I sat there and I looked over and I saw these human-looking entities coming up out of the ground. They was walking up steps, and they had this black tarry substance all over them. And actually, one of them looked like my dad, and he was dead 10 years before this dream come out. So it kind of looked like my dad. And I was sitting there with this, it was a young female, didn't see her face. In most dimensional things, or even in most UFO events, you don't normally see the face. For some reason, I don't know why. I did see one face, and I'll tell you about that. But I turned to this girl, and I said, "Do you believe in God?" That's a strange question to ask. You know, you're in this regressed event, and then here walks up a tall guy in a black overcoat and black hat, kind of like a man in black. And he motioned for me. He says, "You got to go." And I says, "Go where?" And he says, "Follow me." And I looked down at the ground and I saw these little toys, little animal toys made out of rock or something. They were colorful rock. And I stuck them in my pocket. At least I thought I did. And I walked up to this ramp, and the guy in black told me, he said, "Walk down that way." And I did, and then I come back to myself in the bed, and the first thing I reached for was I had shorts on, and I reached in my pockets, and I said, "Oh, I got proof I was there," and my pockets were empty. So I didn't grab what I thought. But that was, I've heard some people say that if you're on a planet with two suns, that's usually an indicator that you were probably really, your body, you were transformed to another dimension, another planet, or whatever. And these ETs can actually do that. They can transport you through another dimension, and they can do that in your mind. A lot of times they don't have to take your body. Like I said, they can work on you beside your bed, or they can transfer you up in their ship, all depending on your location or what they want to do. I believe that's that, you know, there's different. That's why abductions are different. Sometimes they're different for a man than they are for a woman. Of course, for a woman, it goes into more of a situation where they have to go in and get the eggs if they're going to do a hybridization, in which that's what I believe they're really doing. And I've got proof of it to myself. Of course, it's going to be hard to prove to your listeners out there that this happens, because if it just happens to you by yourself, it's kind of hard to make other people believe it. But the more facts that you can tie together with that story or that event, not a story, but an event, the more facts you can tie together with that, it gives you more proof to yourself and more credibility to those who might be listening to you and thinking, well, that's an incident, the planet, he saw a monster movie or a UFO movie or something on TV. And no, because it's not the same things that I see or I have seen. Go ahead, Chris.
No, sorry. I was just going to ask if you did this regression yourself, or did you have someone else help you do this?
There's nobody else that can help me do this, and if we have time, I can probably get into my only hypnosis session that I had. It didn't work out very good for me. I've done most of this myself. I would make notes in my ledger. A lot of things I don't have to make notes on. These things that happen to me are so conscious. Most of these things who've happened to me have been conscious. The only things that happen to me in bed while I'm dreaming are these regressed events. They come back to me, to myself. I'm able to regress them out myself. There's been no hypnosis that can actually help me pull these out. But the other thing that they can do is mask themselves or be invisible. The invisibility thing, there was something that happened several times to me. Something grabbed my foot. I looked over and I couldn't see what grabbed my foot. But I believe what they did is they woke me up to make sure that I was okay. And I think this is why they're not devil or evil. I really think they're concerned about, they really don't want to hurt you. Travis Walton, that famous case back in 75, I've met him several times and talked to him, even visiting him at his house. And he said that he thinks that the ETs actually killed him with that bright light. And he said he felt electricity all throughout his body. And he said he thinks they stopped his heart. And the only reason why they took him was to revive him. That's one of his thoughts. That's why this all happened the way it happened. But they can be invisible. Like, I'm getting back to that. They can be invisible, and they do this sometimes. They don't want to really scare you too much. They don't want you to panic. They just want complete control. And they've grabbed me before, and I think that I woke up from it, and I looked around. I didn't see nothing. I felt something in the room, but I couldn't tell what it was. I had a friend of mine. We come back from a UFO convention, and he stayed overnight because he lived in northern Illinois. I lived in southern Illinois, so he stayed at my house. We drove from Arkansas. I don't know if you've ever been to that convention in Arkansas, Eureka Springs.
No, I haven't.
But it's a pretty good convention, and a lot of top UFO people go there and lecture. But we come from there, and he stayed overnight at my house before he traveled up north to his house. And he didn't tell me for 2 or 3 months. And he finally told me on the phone, we were talking. He said, I got to tell you this. He said, I've been holding off for 2 or 3 months. I didn't want to scare you. I said, what? And he goes, we called each other D1, D2. There's 4 days that went to the conventions together. And Dave Marler, actually, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's written a book on the triangle craft, and he does lectures at conventions, and he's a good friend of mine. But he told me that, he said, I want to tell you this now. He said, I hope it doesn't scare you. I said, D1, nothing scares me. I said, I've been through a lot of this stuff. He said, well, something rubbed up against my leg and my foot while I was in bed in the other room. He said, in your other bedroom. And I said, what was it? He said, I woke up, and he said, I looked. He said, there was nothing there. And he said, actually, in the process of the whatever it was rubbed up against his leg, he said he was actually looking in that direction. He couldn't see nothing. He said he's been a ghost hunter. He's went out on ghost hunting trips and stuff, and he got out of that. But he said he knows a little bit about that. He said it wasn't a ghost. He said it was something solid. And I said, that's probably some of my friends. He said, yeah, some of your friends. And so I do have witnesses that have seen things. My neighbors have seen lights in my backyard, kind of like round spotlights that come down. One neighbor heard some vibration and some noise in my background, in my backyard. They were so afraid. They actually crawled under their bed, and they were, I guess they were what, 50, in their 50s. And I thought, are you two kids, or you're adults? You should have looked out the window and saw what it was. I said, I've been having some strange events, and you know it. And the wife knew I had some strange events. And I said, I wish we would have, Dave, we could have maybe seen something that we could have told you about. I said, next time it happens, you see some lights and you hear some vibrations and noise in the backyard, I said, please look, okay? So the neighbors have seen things where I lived in Godfrey. But also, I guess I'm doing this in a speed reading thing. I know I don't want to hold you up on too much of your recording time, but they can also mask themselves, not only be invisible, but they can mask themselves. I woke up one night, and I looked, and it looked like a friend of mine. The face and everything looked like a friend. I had one knee up, my right knee was up, and they were doing something in my groin area. Again, I think it was an ET who masked themselves with my memories of a friend's face to not scare me so much. And then I saw that they were working in between my legs, and I thought, okay, and I fell back to sleep, or they must have put me back to sleep. So I believe that's another time I think they took samples. I think they can actually follow your genetics and also your health. And if they want to use your DNA, are you reincarnated DNA? Who knows? 80%, a lot of scientists can't figure out what it's all about if our DNA is not useful that we know of. But I think that night they took also some semen samples that night. It's in my record books, my ledgers, but I can't remember the date right offhand, but that happened during the 2008-2009 period. And one of the biggest things, I guess I better get to before we run too much of time out with my, but there's been so many things happen. It's just not one event or two events for me. So that's why I try to get and cover all the events to see if people can be reassured that these things can happen, and they can happen over a period of years, or they can stop and then start again. And this has happened to a lot of people, and there's a lot of people out there who don't want to talk about it. But I'm to the point to where I've talked about it on radio before, AM station, in short segments. But this is the first time I've done so many, internet blog shows and work with Grant Cameron on some of this stuff, because I want to get this out. I'd rather flame out than smoke out, Chris. I guess what they say is, I want people to know what all this ledger is about and what goes on. Maybe they can fit these puzzles together for themselves if they've had similar experiences.
But right. Yes, now is a good time for people to know. I mean, like you said earlier, there's a lot of encouraging things going on with disclosure right now. You know, I'm not sure I trust the sources that it's coming from, but it is, I would think, preparation for some sort of disclosure to come. But yeah, that is encouraging, and you have to get this stuff out. It's, you know, it's very important that everyone knows what's really going on out there. But yeah, go ahead and continue.
Right. Okay, I'll go to 2010. I went to a medium, and she was Indian, a part Indian, and she was up in Springfield. And a friend of mine who writes books about paranormal stuff and ghosts, he knew this lady who was a really good medium. She doesn't call herself a psychic. I normally typically don't like psychics. I don't go in for that too much. But I went to this lady, and I sat there and I said, okay, I don't believe too much in psychics, so let you know for sure, Cheryl, or Cheryl was her first name. She said, she looks at me with a mean look. She said, I'm not a psychic. I'm a medium. And I said, okay, explain. And she says, I get messages about you where I'm sitting here, and I look at you, and I can close my eyes and read you and the messages she said that I'm getting from what they call her guardian angels or whatever is telling her these things. Well, I said, okay, fine. I said, what do you see? She said, you have a bad back. I said, well, it's not too bad right now, but I said, I'll give you that. I probably walked in a little, bent over a little bit. I said, you probably saw that. And she kind of looked at me kind of strange. And I said, what's the other things? And she says, you're going on a trip, aren't you, soon? I said, yeah. I said, in 9 days, I'm going out to out west, out Sedona, and spend some time out there taking pictures. I'm into photography, too. That comes with journalism. So I go out to take pictures, and she goes, okay. And she says, your car is going to be damaged, but you'll be able to drive it. I said, you got to be kidding me. This is for real? She goes, yes, it will be damaged, but you're going to be able to drive. I said, that's scary. And she goes, no, don't be afraid. She said, it's not going to be anything that's going to hurt you. I said, okay, good. And I said, what's the other thing? She says, in 9 days, she says, when you get to Sedona, you're going to meet your first ET. And that'd be October 4th, she said. And I said, really? She said, yes. You don't have to come back and tell me. She says, I know. You will. And, well, to shorten that story, I went out to Sedona. I ran into a really bad hailstorm, and the hail damaged my car about $2,700 worth, but I was able to drive the car. So she was right. And then I did meet an ET on the 4th, about 6 p.m. Sedona time at Cathedral Rock, October 4th, 2010. And I pulled into Cathedral Rock at the parking area, and I got my camera out because I was told at a jewelry shop that there was a UFO spotted in that area. I said, oh, okay, good. So I went there, got my movie camera out, and I started filming. And here pulls up a little white car right behind me in another parking space. And out jumps this young Japanese gal. She must have been not real young, but in her early 30s. Whatever, and she come over to me like a little puppy, and I was filming, and I filmed her a little bit, and I said, "What's your name?" She goes, "Hiroko," and I said, "Well, mine's Dave. Glad to meet you." I said, "I'm here trying to film, try to see if I can film a UFO. They said was spotted here," and she just looks at me kind of weird, didn't give me no answers or nothing. She's kind of quiet. And I put my camera down, and I said, "Are you here to wait for somebody?" She goes, "No." I said, "Are you here to go hiking?" She goes, "No." And then she says, "I'm here to see you." I said, "You're here to see me?" She goes, "Yes." She said, "We're supposed to meet." I said, "Really?" I said, "I don't know you. Do you?" I said, "I'm an old man compared to you." I said, and it started raining. I said, "Well, you want to get in the car so we can talk?" So we got in the car and we talked. She could speak English, but she couldn't read English, but she said she knew 20 languages. And I found that kind of interesting. I told her, I said, "Aren't you afraid of being, you're only probably about 105 pounds or whatever, 110. And I said, "Here, I'm a big husky guy." I said, "Aren't you afraid?" And she goes, I said, "You can kick my butt." And she goes, "Yes." I said, "Oh." So that kind of scared me kind of right off the bat. That kind of really kind of scared me. But I looked over, and this is a space over from me. There was a young guy, really short cropped hair with a headset on. He did not look over at me. And I sat there and I looked over at him, and he just sat there real quiet. And she was kind of looking at me kind of funny every time I looked over there at him. But she stared a hole to me. She had black eyes in a way. And I couldn't see much of the white in her eye. And when she looked at me, and I said, "Hiroko," I said, "your eyes are burning a hole through the back of my head." I said, "Wow." And I turned my head. And I think what she was telling me was, "Everything's fine. Don't worry. I'm just here to visit right now." And just, you know, I had a license to carry a gun. So I had a gun in the console. And when this guy pulled out and pulled in the second time, I got a little worried. I thought, what's going on here? Is this a setup? Am I to be robbed? And I looked at my console again, and she looked at me and like, I know what's in there. Don't go for it. Just be cool. Everything's fine. You're not going to be hurt. Not going to do anything. And I got that feeling. I was reading this. This is what they do to you. And this is how she was doing it, through a telepathic way, through I guess these hybrids have this mental power that they can control human beings. And so she sat there and asked me questions. She was trying to extract emotional feelings from me, because hybrids need to learn how to feel like a human. They're not really taught emotions. They're only taught, you know, the mechanics of being a human and looking like a human or whatever. Are trying to act like a human, but they don't know emotions. I studied that after that, and I found that out, that they try to extract emotions from people to try to learn how to be a human. Well, I looked at her one time, and when this guy pulled in for the third time, I almost had enough. And I looked at her, and she was shrank down in the seat. She looked like a little kid, like she was changing size. And it didn't alarm me that she was changing size at the time, I guess because I was so inundated with this energy that told me just be cool. But then she started having a cry. She tried to fake a cry. It was a fake cry. She was trying to practice that cry on me. I touched her hand. Her hand was burning hot. I mean, it was really hot. I took my hand off of hers. I said, "Are you feeling well?" I said, "You are really hot." I said, "It's cool outside." I said, "Are you okay?" She goes, she nodded her head. She said, "Yes." And I said, "You're burning up. You shouldn't be that hot." And so I think it was her frequencies that were going up and down with her, and frequencies will build up heat. And I was explained that later on that that's what that could have been, that her body was going through frequency changes. Maybe, could we say shape-shifting? Or could we say a gray that turns into an Asian Japanese person? Maybe. Who really knows? And she looked at me again and she said, "We were supposed to meet." I said, "That's nice, Hiroko." I said, "But why were we supposed to meet?" And she would just look at me. And then she says something about that she needed a baby. She said, "I have to have a baby." I said, "Why do you have to have a baby?" She goes, "Well, my boyfriend doesn't want a baby, but she says, I want a baby." I said, "Well, get married and have a baby," I told her, you know. So then we left. I went back to my room, went to her. She went to hers. It wasn't a romantic thing. I know people ask that. Was this a romantic? No, it wasn't. It was kind of like a father-daughter thing, to tell you the truth. And I didn't really think of it being a romantic thing. It didn't occur to me. I guess I was being energized in my head that don't think that way. But the next day we met for breakfast. She was a little late getting to where she was supposed to go and meet me. But I stood there in the parking lot, and I knew she was coming. There was messages that come to me said that she's going to be there. And so I said, "Okay, I won't take off then." But, and here she pulled in. She showed up. We went in, had a quick breakfast, and then we went traveling around looking at the buttes. And she was in this restaurant, and there was only about 20 people standing around waiting to go in for reservations or for standing in line. But, and she said, "All these people." And I looked at her like she's from, supposed to be from Tokyo. And then she says, "All these people, 20 people as compared to 20 million in one city." I thought that was kind of strange, kind of a dead giveaway. So we spent a couple more hours together, and she said she had to leave. And it was about 2:30. She had to take off. Then she was going to Phoenix, and then she said she's going to L.A. And I said, "Yeah, okay." And I said, "Where else have you gone?" She said, "I went to White Sands Missile Base." I said, "Why'd you go there?" She said, "Just to see the sand." I said, "Just to see the sand?" She goes, "Yes." And I said, "A single woman traveling around by yourself going to White Sands?" She goes, "Yes." And I thought, this is weird. This is strange. So she left. I took notes. I went back to my room and I started taking notes because I felt something was really odd about her. Something was very strange, otherworldly, I guess you could call it, a feeling, and saying that she needed a baby. Yeah. So I didn't hear or know anything until I guess I had a regressed event. I think it took a couple of months or so to have this regressed event. I was in the room, in the lodge, the room that I stayed in, and at my bedside, somebody was standing there, and they had a brown hose. It was kind of like a small hose stuck to my groin area. Well, I tried to kick it away with my knee, and it was kind of like a light tan brown hose, and I saw the color of it, and I tried to kick it away with my knee, and then all of a sudden, I was asleep again. Well, this regression come to me, I guess, several months later. And what happened was they got me up. There was three of them in the room. One was sitting at the little table, and one was holding my arm. I don't know why they had to walk me, but they were walking me back and forth in the room. And they had this bright light. It was about 6-7 inches long. looked like a fluorescent tube, and they and the other one had it in his hand and is going up and down my face, and every time it hit my eyes, it would hurt. And what they were doing, they were erasing my memory, or at least they thought they erased most of my memory, but I remembered that part of it. And then I found out that's how they erase your memory, is with light going through your eyes into your optic nerve. And that's how they erase memories. So that happened. And then it was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2011. My cousin and I was sitting on my front porch, and here walks about 200 feet away to the road, highway there, two lane. There walked three people, two of them young Japanese guys, and one looked like an older Japanese gal. And she stopped about halfway to the house. These other two young Japanese guys proceeded to the house and stood about 10 feet away from us on my driveway. And we were sitting there on the porch. And this gal, she stood with her face turned away from me, and which is a dead giveaway. Her arms were crossed like she had them when we were sightseeing, and her arms were crossed. And I knew that was Hiroko. These two young Japanese guys, one looked like about 15, 16, maybe 17 years of age, and which would date the 1996 thing with a little gray. So maybe taking semen samples, and these were my hybrids. I know that's a long shot, but that's the only thing I can picture at this point. So this lady, she kept face away from us, and these two asked where the new Walmart was at. Well, I knew that's not what they wanted. And I said, just over this viaduct. And I sat there, and then that was it. They dumbed us both down. I was going to ask them, is that Hiroko? It didn't come out of my mouth. I'm usually a very social person, and I usually ask the questions I want to ask. That's what I was trained to do. My cousin, who's kind of a smart ass in a way, he would probably smart talk to him or say something funny or talk. He was like that. He was outgoing. He didn't say a word. He was just completely dumbed down. And so these two stood there for a while. I don't know how long they were there, but I do remember they must have went in the house. They got a hold of my little, it's a pleather type of portfolio holder. And one of them had it open and looking in it and looking at me while he was looking at it. And I couldn't say nothing. I was dumbed down. I couldn't say a word. And he closed it. And I guess he brought it back in my house. I guess he was looking at seeing what kind of notes I was taking about his space mother or whatever. But then they walked away. I noticed them when they got to my mailbox on my street. And then I saw them when they joined up with this gal, had to have been Hiroko. And my cousin kind of come too, and he looks at me and says, what happened? What just happened? I said, they're up there. They're near the road. And he said, those Chinese? I said, no, they're Japanese. He said, what happened? He said, I couldn't say a word. And he said, you didn't say a word. I said, no, I didn't. I said, we couldn't. I said, I'll explain it to you later. Because he doesn't know much about this stuff. I always joke to him and say, you're about as deep as a dry creek bed or whatever, you know. So, but, you know, he doesn't have a lot of depth in his thinking. He doesn't think out of the box, but I explained it to him. But they joined together and they walked up to the stop sign, and which is about 200 feet or so away from us. And then we turned and looked at each other, looked back out, and they were gone, just disappeared. We looked down the road, up the road. They were not there. And they didn't walk there on the road. They were just gone. And then he got up. He looked at me. I don't know what the hell's going on with you and these aliens. It come out of his mouth, aliens. I said, why'd you say that? He said, isn't that what they were? He said, this is weird. He said, I'm getting the hell out of here. And he turned pale white and he got in his truck and he left. And he told his wife about it. And I talked to her a couple of days later. She said, yeah, David, I don't know what you did to him. I said, I didn't do nothing. I said, it just happened. I said, she said, but he was really, truly scared. I said, well, yeah, I think we both were afterwards, because we don't know what the extent of all this was. But that's, I had a witness with that too. So that's, wow. You know, a lot of people say, well, did you have witnesses? Do you have proof? I don't have proof on one-on-one abductions, but I do have proof on a lot of things that have happened to me. But I kind of thought that these two young guys were part of me. They had about a third of my DNA, maybe about a third of the carrier, which could have been the Hiroko, and maybe some other alien species DNA spliced together to make a hybrid. So these two were hybrids, and they were probably mine,
It's very interesting that you're saying that. You know, I've talked to a lot of researchers lately that are convinced that there's been an ongoing hybridization program, you know, involving that's been going on, you know, forever. And, you know, there's some that think it's malevolent, that they're trying to replace us. There's some that think, you know, that they're benevolent, they're trying to help us. You know, what are your thoughts? Why do you think they're doing this?
I had a caller last week on another show. They asked me the same thing. What did you feel? Do you feel that they're doing this hybrid program for our benefit or for theirs? I said, for now, it's probably for our benefit, because have you seen all the genius little kids, 4 and 5 years old, playing piano, singing, and it's getting more and more to where these kids are getting so smart and they're getting so independent. There's a, you know, 5 and 6 year old can grab a cell phone and work a whole cell phone and work all the programs and the apps on it. It's getting, I think what's happening is they're evolving us. They're getting involved in our evolution process, in which they always have. It's been thousands of years they've been involved in. They still are. Now it's a hybrid program in which they're bringing in their own alien DNA to make us smarter and grow to a point where maybe there might be peace on this earth. Maybe, we don't know. But then the caller asked me, so do you think it could be bad? I said, maybe for now it could be maybe good for us. I said, but maybe later on what their agenda might be towards the end of their goals, who knows? I said, it could be bad for us. Good now, maybe bad later. That's how I kind of look at it with this hybrid program. I've actually seen, they said they walk amongst us. I think Dr. David Jacobs wrote this book also. I really followed him pretty close, but he said that they walk amongst us, look like the hybrid, alien hybrid Japanese gal. And I saw another gal one night that was strange. We were playing music, my brothers and I, and my two brothers are younger than me and better looking than me, so I couldn't figure out why all this was going on. We was at this nightclub, and we were going to meet the manager and sign a contract with him. And there was a group of young ladies, about 24, 25. One of them was in a black dress, and she went over and played a Michael Jackson song. And she was really looked like a professional dancer. She was swirling around, and she had long, dark hair. And she was just a really good dancer. And she come over to me, holding her hands out. And I thought, what is she coming to me for? You know, here I'm an old guy, and here she's, you know, young. You know, attractive young gal. And I couldn't figure that out. But I asked my brothers, I said, did you guys see them? They said, yeah. I said, why didn't she hit on you guys? So we left. But 2 weeks later, my brother and I went there to sign the contract for real. And we were sitting there at the bar, and we were sipping on a beer. And I didn't drink much at that time. I still don't. But we were sipping on a beer. And here sits this young lady that looks like the one that was dancing in the dress. This time she had a t-shirt top and she had Levi's on. And I asked my brother, said, is that her? He goes, it looks like her. Well, when I turned to look at her, her eyes rolled around to me, and she had a slit like a lizard's eyes. and I froze, and she rolled her eyes and looked at me, and I saw that green slit, and I said, oh no, you know, oh no. And I looked at my brother. I said, I can't believe this. I said, I can't say too much now, she might hear me. I said, but something's weird about her. I said, so this is another shapeshifter. They say, they talk about reptilians being shapeshifters, and they can transform themselves in any human shape or body they want. I haven't had much to do with reptilians. I saw one in my bedroom one night. He was a short one, only about five and a half feet tall. But I woke up to go to the bathroom. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I looked over towards my closet, and he was standing this 5.5 foot, looked like a cobra. I mean, in the face, this thing looked like a cobra. I was scared to death. I jumped out of the bed. I got up and I turned around and looked at it, and it was gone. It just showed itself to me for about 5 or 6 seconds, and then it was gone. But it scared me. That face, I mean, the reptilians, if they're, you know, I haven't, that's the only time I ever really saw a reptilian. It was that instant. But I heard a lot about them shape-shifting and turning into animals and all kinds of stuff. So who really knows? I mean, with their technology, anything can really happen.
Right.
So, that is
fascinating stuff. I mean, you know, I say, you know, I've never been abducted. You, like you said, I might not even know. They could have come while I was sleeping. I could have had these experiences
right at
the same time and not even know it. It's very fascinating stuff. And, you know, we got about two, maybe two, 3 minutes left. What I'd like to do is just get your thoughts on where we're going with disclosure. Do you think we're going to have full disclosure to where we know exactly what's going on, or you think it's going to be a slow drip process?
Going back to what you just said, Chris, about I think your interest, your curiosity in UFOs, something's had to happen to you. I'm not trying to say that to scare you, but something has probably, or one of these ET entities have abducted you, or done some uploading, downloading with you, and your curiosity with the UFOs, that's an indicator to me that there's something that's inside of you that you just haven't pulled out yet. Does that scare you?
That's very fascinating to me. I mean, it piques my interest hearing stuff like that, and it makes me want to kind of look into it and look into myself a little bit. That's very interesting.
Right. I mean, since you're kind of obsessed, not obsessed, I shouldn't say that. I don't think anybody should be obsessed with anything, but your curiosity is at a high level with this. And I guess what is the question you asked me? I just wanted to answer that one for you.
I just want to know where you think we're going to go with this disclosure. Do you think that it's going to be a process where we're going to know everything within a short amount of time, or do you think it's going to be just continued slow drip process that they're doing now?
Well, I think things are speeding up right now. I really think people now are on edge. You heard about this thing about Area 51, thousands of people going out there. Well, I've been to Area 51. I've been 12 miles away from it. I didn't go close to it because I went out there, and there was a somebody in the mailbox, this famous ranch. It was 5 miles down Groom Lake Road. And I asked her, I said, do you live at the ranch? She goes, no, I'm the mail lady. And I said, oh, really? She goes, how long you been here? I said, about a minute and a half. She says, they already know who you are, where you come from, your address, your phone number. They know everything. I said, really? She said, yeah, look, see those little things on these little mounds? She said, they got ground sensors. They can hear us talking. And she says, so be careful what you say. I said, wow. Okay. But you know, getting back to that slow drip. Yeah, it's going to be a slow drip, I feel. I feel that slow drip is coming out now from the Navy. I don't know if they told the Navy to come forward, to start coming forward with this, because one of the branches of service has to start admitting things in order for the slow drip to occur. So it has started. Things have sped up. There's more UFO sightings. I think time is starting to pick up right now faster than any other time before. I don't know if the ETs know there's going to be a cataclysm or if we're on the brink of a war, because I heard they'll intervene and stop a nuclear war. They really don't want us to destroy each other. So that's a good thought. That's that's kind of like a good spiritual thing to think about. But no, I think it's going to be a slow drip. Are we going to know everything? No. Not as long as the governments and the military are in charge, we're not going to know everything. It's going to take some time for us to know everything.
Very good. And Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight. That was very fascinating information. I'm definitely going to have you back on too.
All right. I appreciate that. And nice talking to you. You sound like a really nice guy and a good host. And that curiosity is going to keep driving you to the truth.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. And I think everybody deserves the truth. So, Dave, thank you again, and you have a great night.
You too, Chris. Good night now.